ప్రేమస్వరూపులారా,
ఎంబాడిమెంట్స్ ఆఫ్ లవ్.
శాంతి నీ లోపల ఉన్నది కానీ బయట లేదు.
పీస్ ఇస్ విత్ ఇన్, నాట్ అవుట్ సైడ్.
అవుట్ సైడ్ నో పీస్, ఓన్లీ పీసెస్.
Dear listeners, Sairam from Prashanti Nilayam, and welcome once again to Outside Inside Deep Inside. I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu, and as we begin this Thursday, the month of October has begun. This is the month leading on to the birthday of Bhagwan. Very interestingly, in October, you have the Avatar Declaration Day, and in November, you have the birthday of Bhagwan. In a way, the celebrations of Bhagwan's birthday commence from this month onwards with the joyous celebration of the Advent, joyous celebration of the declaration of the advent of the avatar. Of course, before that we have the beautiful celebration of Dasara, and this year the Dasara Yagnam is going to be held in Prashanti Nilayam in the Purnachandra Auditorium as it used to be every year, and devotees wherever they are can watch the celebrations virtually on our YouTube channel, Sri Satya Sai Official. We will have the talks every evening like it used to be during the 7 days of the Veda Purusha Saptaha Jnana Yajna. So everything in Prashanti Nilayam continues as Bhagwan had laid it down, and now that the darshan sessions have opened, you have people with so much of happiness and eagerness coming every day to soak in the divine presence of Bhagwan in the holy ambience of Sai Kulwant Hall in the morning and evening. In some ways, Puttaparthi is returning to its usual vibrant nature. We only pray that as the days go and as we slowly come out of this health emergency, we will be back together celebrating all these beautiful days of being with Swami, celebrating every festival, celebrating every holy moment with Him, soaking in the pulsating purity of Prashanti Nilayam into ourselves. It was Bhagwan's grace that we resumed Thursday life the previous week, and as we move forward, there are some changes that we are going to bring in into the Thursday life schedule. Since we restarted this, we wanted to rehash this and offer something richer, more heartening and more connecting us to Bhagwan. And so, from next Thursday onwards, that is October 8th, we will be having a new Thursday live schedule. There will be a segment in the morning 9:45 to 10 a.m. for 15 minutes, a program called Prashanti Vibes. So here we will be sharing with you all those little beautiful things happening in different corners of Prashanti Nilayam and the little initiatives that we have taken in the Sri Satyasaya Media Center. For those of us who are always listening to the radio, this will be a good time to keep ourselves updated and abreast with whatever is happening in the holy hamlet and in this sacred town, as well as this little Prashanti within Prashanti, the Sri Satya Sai Media Center. So for 15 minutes, we will give you an overview of the week, of the different things to look forward to, and the things that you have missed. With that, we'll move on at 10 o'clock to the Gita series, which has been hosted for so many weeks now by Brother Premanush. He used to do it in the evenings, but now we are moving that to the mornings. So we begin at 10 o'clock, the Gita series, 10 to 11, will be the slot for this satsang on the Gita by Brother Premanush. And after that, at 11, we will have Outside Inside, Deep Inside. So the next week onwards, if you are someone who listens to Outside Inside, Deep Inside, it will be my joy to be with you at 11 a.m. from October 8, 2020 onwards. So as always, this will be for an hour, this program, and after that we'll move on to afternoon satsang again, Brother Premanush and Brother Arvind now. So that will be at 12. So earlier we used to have afternoon satsang from 12:30 to 2 p.m. But a slight change in the schedule, it still is an afternoon satsang, but preponed by half an hour. So 12 to 1:30 will be the afternoon satsang from October 8th, 2020 onwards. After that, we will have Veda Jikyasa, the program wherein we have elaboration on the Vedic hymns, hosted by Brother Ganesh from the Media Center. So 1:30 to 2:15, 45 minutes, we have Veda Jikyasa. After that, we will have, for another 45 minutes, the Sri Satyasai Sandesha Chari, the Telugu segment, which we have been continuing in our Asia stream for so many weeks. And after that, you will have the program Love to Love, wherein we bring you talks by various people delivered during the Samarpan sessions and other satsang sessions being held all over the world. As always, this program will continue to be hosted by Brother Chandu Vijay. So that will be from 3 to 4:15. After that, we take you to Sai Kulwant Hall for the live broadcast, which starts at 4:30. So 4:30 to 5:15 bhajans, and 5 to 6 o'clock Vedam, and 5:15 to 6 bhajans. And after that, at 6:45, we begin the bhajan tutor. And once the bhajan tutor ends at 7:30, we will have a special video satsang series from 7:30 to 8:30. So this is the new addition now we have every Thursday, apart from these audio live programs that we've been offering you on every Thursday. We will now offer a video satsang, which will be played on our YouTube channel, Sri Satya Sai Official, and the audio you can listen on Asia Stream. So 7:30 to 8:30, we have this special video satsang series. And at 8:30 to 9:30, we will have the regular Vahini satsang. So if you are someone who loves to read Sai literature, understand Sai literature, and go deep into the meaning of what Bhagwan has written, so it will be my pleasure to join you for the Vahini Satsang. at 8:30 p.m. on every Thursday. And this timing, of course, remains unchanged. That is how it has been and that is how it will be. So this is the changed schedule, which will come into effect from October 8th, 2020. And in Outside Inside, Deep Inside, we continue with the Satyam Shivam Sundaram series. And in the last few weeks, if you have been following the series, we've been contemplating on the beautiful journeys of so many devotees who came to Bhagwan way back in the 40s. We talked about Mrs. Rani Subramanyam. We talked about the Raja of Venkatagiri. We talked about Mrs. Nagamani Purnaya, who was the wife of the chief commercial manager in railways way back in the 40s. In fact, in the previous session of Outside Inside, Deep Inside, I shared with you many beautiful moments that she has recorded in the book Divine Leelas of Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. In fact, today I want to take you back to one very powerful incident that she has documented. She talks about her visits to Prashanti in the late 40s. And she says during one of her visits to Puttaparthi, Bhagwan was still in the old mandir. We are talking about the pre-1950 days. And she says that when she reached Parthi, she found her sister. Her sister also had come to Parthi. She had actually come 10 days before her, ahead of her. So both the sisters spent 20 happy days with Bhagwan in the old mandir in Puttaparthi. And it was during this time that one day her sister told her that Swami mentioned that their mother would not live for long. Their mother was in Madras, now Chennai. So this was quite a moment of revelation, and both the sisters were very concerned. Bhagwan's mercy had revealed it to them ahead of time that there are not many more days for your mother. And in the same vein, Swami had also very casually mentioned that Gandhiji also will die soon. Gandhiji, the father of India, the father of the freedom movement, Mahatma Gandhi, Bhagwan had mentioned very casually. In fact, today is October 1st, 2020. Tomorrow is Gandhi Jayanti, October 2nd. The Mahatma was born on 1869, 151 years before this year. This actually reminds me of what happened on the day Gandhiji chanted, "Hey Ram, Hey Ram, Hey Ram," and became one with the Lord of his heart, Sri Ramachandra. On that day, 30th January 1948, Bhagwan had taken a few people to the banks of River Chitravati. In those days, everyone looked forward to these sessions because all of these were filled with mystical moments with Bhagwan. Swami would create something out of the sand. Swami would suddenly pluck a non-seasonal fruit out of a tree. Swami would suddenly give them the vision of the avatars on the waters of Chitravati. Every day was filled with so much of divine leelas and manifestations of the Lord, that every session to Chitravati was a piece of paradise for all the devotees then. But on January 30th, 1948, it was a different story. Early in the evening, when young Satya rose on his feet, Bhagwan, from the river Chitravati, without a word or explanation, began to run westward towards the old mandir. So even though Swami had taken all the people to Chitravati, suddenly he stopped this session and started walking briskly towards the mandir, the old mandir. Bhagwan rushed into his little room. He bolted the door. All the devotees were waiting outside. As Bhagwan came into the old mandir, they all followed Swami. They had no clue why Bhagwan stopped the session midway and was in such a great hurry to go back to his room. Once Bhagwan went inside, there was absolute silence and he did not come out for very long. For almost more than an hour or more, Bhagwan was inside. He came out once or twice, but he did not speak to anyone, and he appeared very pensive. Finally, at 7:30, Swami now walked out of the room and was in a mood to talk. He joined the devotees, and that is when Swami said, "Mahatma has left." Swami said, "That is the reason why I cancelled the Chitravati session. Mahatma is no more." The word Mahatma generally in Sanskrit means a great soul. So the devotees who were in Puttaparthi then thought that some saintly soul perhaps had passed on, and Bhagwan had in his own mysterious way visited him to bless him. It was only 2 days later when a young Bala Pattabhi went to collect mail from the neighboring big village of Bukkapatnam that he brought a copy of The Hindu, the national newspaper. And when the people of Puttaparthi saw in the news about the assassination of Mahatma Gandhi that happened at 5:30 p.m. on the 30th of January, exactly at the time when Bhagwan began running and behaving in a strange manner, for 2 hours Bhagwan was inside and came out only once or twice. When the devotees read this news, that is when they realized that, oh my God, when Bhagwan said that Mahatma has left, he was referring to Mahatma Gandhi. He was referring to a name. It was not some saint or some sage, not some great soul. It was 1948. The country had just attained independence. There were no facilities of any kind. But for those of us who have known Swami and know that all his ways are so inscrutable, this was such a big revelation. Many times we think perhaps Gandhiji had a very unfair death. He did so much for the country. He inspired thousands to lead a life of non-violence and fill the fire of patriotism into them. How could he have such a brutal death? But imagine this, even as Gandhiji was getting prepared to come out for his last ever prayer session, here Bhagwan stopped the prayer session in the Chitravati and rushed to be with him. Even before the time had arrived, Bhagwan was rushing to receive the soul that was coming to his abode. What greater death can one choose? We know so little of what is happening with each one of us. Such a death indeed proves the saying that the manner in which one dies is testimony to the manner in which one lives. Bhagwan rushing to receive the Mahatma. That is how it was. And this we came to know only because Bhagwan revealed it. And some devotees who were there corroborated it later on. For every one thing that we know and understand a little more of Bhagwan's actions, there are millions that we have no clue. Unless he tells us, how will we know the mystery and the meaning behind his acts? When Mahatma Gandhiji breathed his last, Pandit Jawaharlal Nehru, in his address to the nation, said, "The light has gone out of our lives." And later on he added, "The light has gone out, yet when I said that, I was wrong. For the light that shone in this country was no ordinary light. The light that has illumined this country for these many years will illumine this country for many more years. And 1,000 years later, that light will still be seen in this country and the world will see it. And it will give solace to innumerable hearts." This is what the first Prime Minister of the country spoke when the modern messiah of peace and non-violence chose the eternal life. The Mahatma Gandhi, the Mahatma, rose to heights that few men can ever aspire. A life that made the great scientist Albert Einstein comment, "Generations to come will scarce believe that such a one has ever in flesh and blood walked upon this earth." In fact, anyone who has read My Experiments with Truth, the biography of Mahatma Gandhi, would agree with me that it leaves you so inspired. It fills you with determination. It fills you with courage and conviction to walk on the path of truth, to walk on the path of purity, walk on the path of love for God. It was Gandhiji who sang Raghupati Raag of Raja Ram. It was his favorite bhajan. The version that is most common was put to music by Vishnu Digambar Paluskar, and Gandhiji used to sing this and all his followers used to follow him. In fact, this was what they were singing when they walked through the 241-mile salt march to Dandi. Raghupati Raghava Raja Ram Patita Pavana Sita Ram.
రఘుపతి రాఘవ రాజా రామ్, పతిత పావన సీతారామ్. ईश्वर अल्लाह तेरो नाम,
ईश्वर अल्लाह तेरो नाम.
सबको सन्मति दो भगवान, प्रभुपति राघव राजा राम, पति कपावन सीताराम. जय सीताराम, भज प्यारे मन सीताराम. सीताराम जय सीताराम, भज प्यारे मन सीताराम. रघुपति राघव राजा राम, पतित पावन सीताराम.
Wasn't that beautiful rendition by the primary school children? I thought, given that tomorrow, October 2nd, we remember the Mahatma, it would be appropriate for us to get into the lessons of life that this great soul taught us. In fact, there were so many occasions when Bhagwan did talk about Mahatma Gandhi to the students. On one occasion, during an informal interaction with the students in the Mandir portico, in 2002, February 27th to be precise, Bhagwan asked the boys if they have any idea about the meeting that he had with Gandhiji. Bhagwan said once the British Prime Minister came to see Gandhiji, and the Prime Minister saw that on Gandhiji's table there were many books piled up one above the other, and on the top was the Bible. And this made the British Prime Minister very happy, and he said, "See Gandhi, our Bible is above all other books." Swami says, Gandhiji replied, "You have missed to look at the bottom. At the base of all the books is the sacred Ramayana. And that is because it is the foundation. Without the foundation, there is no Bible." This is what Gandhiji had told the British Prime Minister. And then Swami asked the students, any of you seen Gandhiji? And Swami went on to narrate 5 occasions when Bhagwan had met Gandhiji. Swami said, first was in Madras, in Chennai, during a meeting in Andhra Mahasabha. Hanumant Rao, a great devotee of Bhagwan, who was the chairman of the Transport Corporation of Composite Madras, at that point in time, there was a state of Composite Madras which had parts of the current Andhra and the Karnataka states. Mr. Hanumant Rao used to come to Bhagwan regularly, and he had convened the Andhra Mahasabha. In fact, Mr. Hanumant Rao was very involved in the construction of the new Mandir, 1950. Bhagwan said the Andhra Mahasabha was the brainchild of Durgabai Deshmukh, an Indian freedom fighter. She was a lawyer, social worker and politician. Durgabai and Chengamma, they were sisters. So Gandhiji sent word through Hanumant Rao, who had convened that meeting, that he would want to sit next to Swami. When Gandhiji came to know about Bhagwan, he communicated that he would want this opportunity to sit next to Swami, and Bhagwan gave him that blessing. Swami says, Gandhi sat with his legs folded and leaning with the support of his hand. Later on, Bhagwan said, when Swami was in Hyderabad, Swami met Gandhiji one more time. There was a third occasion. It was during the meeting of the Indian National Congress. And on that occasion, Gandhiji had spread a big cloth and he was asking people for donation. And the people were removing ornaments and putting it on the cloth. And it's at this point that Bhagwan told Gandhiji, you yourself are collecting money. How can anyone expect you to save the country? Then Gandhiji said, Swami, this is not for me. This is for the poor people. Bhagwan said, then you should declare this in public. Else there will be people who will misunderstand. And Gandhiji told Swami that yes, indeed it was a mistake. He should have done that. And he thanked Bhagwan and hailed Bhagwan for the advice. One other time Gandhiji met Bhagwan was in Delhi at the Kamani Hall. Bhagwan says that it is the same Mr. Kamani who constructed the Purnachandra Auditorium. A lot of people attended that meeting and Gandhiji was full of humor in that session. So there were these occasions when Gandhiji was blessed to be in the divine proximity of Bhagwan. He has had the opportunity to interact with Swami. And as I mentioned, when it was time for him to merge, at his lotus feet, Bhagwan rushed and took him into him, rewarding him for the beautiful life of truth and non-violence he had led. So, coming back to the story of Mrs. Nagamani Purnaya, I was telling you that both the sisters, Nagamani Purnaya and her sister, they had spent 20 days in Parthi, and it was during this time that Swami had told them that their mother was not going to live for long, and It was in this context that Swami Azaw had also mentioned about Gandhiji not living for long. So continuing the story of Srimati Nagamani Purnaya, so both the sisters planned to go to Madras after their return to Bangalore, because both of them wanted to spend time with their mother. If Bhagwan has said it, then they know that it is going to happen. So Nagamani Purnaya's sister lived 6 miles away from her house in Bangalore. And even though both had planned to go together to Madras, for some strange reason, her sister left for Madras one fine day without informing Nagamani Purnaya. And this left Srimati Nagamani very upset, and she was very unhappy. And so she went to her husband and said, you know, I want to go to Madras. I want to see my mother. And so her husband said, okay, I will write to Nagaraj, your cousin, to come and take you to Madras. And so the husband made all the arrangements for her travel. Nagaraj came to their place on a Saturday, and they planned to leave for Madras on the succeeding Monday. But on the evening of Sunday, she suddenly received a phone message of the inevitable that has already happened. Mother had already moved on. She planned to go on Monday. Her sister left without telling her. She was so desperate to spend time with her mother. She missed it just by a day. And so Srimati Nagamani Purnaya immediately started for Madras with a broken heart. And the thought was haunting her that if only mother could have lived for one more day, if only Swami could have made it happen. Swami knew this was happening. Why did he do this? Why couldn't he ensure that I was with my mother? I could have spent at least a few moments when she was alive. So she was in deep pain and so overwhelmed with grief when she finally reached Madras and saw the lifeless body of her mother, and she went to the prayer room and she just broke down in front of Bhagwan and said, Swami, why did you disappoint me? I had so much trust in you. One more day you could have given, a day more of life in her, and I could have spent some sweet moments with her. You are all knowing, you know this is happening. You know that just as I am so eager to see her, even she was so eager to see me, she would have also gone back so happy. So she went on praying to Bhagwan, and this kept her completely devastated. Nothing could console her. And as the days passed, on the fifth night after her mother's death, suddenly as she was sleeping, she felt that someone was tapping her, and she woke up. She was wide awake, and she saw that she is in her mother's room, and she saw that her mother was sitting on a rosewood bench and combing her hair. The room was so lit. Mother was so beautifully sitting there and combing her hair in a brightly lit room. And Srimati Nagamani Purnaya was so ecstatic. She forgot that her mother is no more. She went and spent time with her mother. She forgot that the mother was no more. That was such a real experience that she had in the night. And when she woke up the next morning, she saw that she's on the same bed. But that whatever happened in the night was so vivid in her mind. And she just kept racking her brain about what had happened in the night. She saw her alive. It was so real. It was not like a dream. It was like an absolute physical experience. That's how it seemed. And she knew that her Swami had again come to her rescue. She knew that her Swami will never disappoint her. She knew how her Swami will always fulfill her every little prayer. Her life was filled with so many such moments with Bhagwan, so many such moments which every time convinced her of the divinity that is Satya Sai and the power that Satya Sai is and the extent he can go to for your welfare, for your ananda, for your joy. In fact, there's a very beautiful letter that Bhagwan wrote in the 1950s, early 50s, 1952 probably, to Sundarama, the daughter of the first pujari of Prashantinilayam. Sundaramma and Sharadamma were two sisters, and Swami used to call them Patalamai, the two sisters who sing. In that letter, Swami writes, "Sundaramma, accept my blessings. I have accepted your prostrations." When Sai is all protective, why are you expressing words of anguish? When Satya Sai is residing in your heart, how can bad elements enter you? When Bhadra Sai is with you, Sai the protector, when Bhadra Sai is with you, how can evil forces enter your heart? Sai devotees can never be helpless. They are never helpless. They are not going to be helpless. These are the words of Bhagwan. Way back in 1952, in a beautiful letter, Sai devotees can never be helpless. They are never helpless. They are not going to be helpless. And then Bhagwan goes on to say, devotee's heart is the residence of Sai. Devotee's ananda is the food of Sai. Devotee's happiness is the comfort of Sai. The comfort and well-being of devotees is everything for Sai. If only we can remember these words. Whatever happens to our lives, we would never ever feel disheartened or lost. Bhagwan is unequivocally declaring, devotee's heart is the residence of Sai, devotee's ananda is the food of Sai, devotee's happiness is the comfort of Sai. The comfort and well-being of devotees is everything for Sai. And that's what we saw in Sai, isn't it? Till the last moment, whatever he did, it was for the comfort and the well-being of devotees. Even though he was going through so much pain, he would come out. His legs would be swollen, but he would come out. Because the comfort and the joy of devotees is everything for Sai. In fact, Swami says, see that these words are ringing in your ears like the sounds of the temple bells. Wow. Whenever the temple bells ring, whenever we do aarti or we tune in to the aarti of Prashanti Mandir, can these words ring within our being? Devotee's heart is the residence of Sai. When Om Jai Jagadish Hare is sung, Swami Satya Sai Hare Bhakta Jana Samrakshaka. That is what we sing, isn't it? As we sing the Arati, these words should fill and overfill our heart and streams of joy should stream down our cheeks as we think of the love of the Lord. Devotee's heart is the residence of Sai. Devotee's ananda is the food of Sai. Devotee's happiness is the comfort of Sai. The comfort and well-being of devotees is everything for Sai. As Swami says, see that these words are ringing in your ears like the sounds of the temple bells. Bhagwan goes on further and says, Swami will never be far from devotees. You devotees are like milk, and I am the whiteness of that milk. How beautiful this is. Swami says, no one can separate them. That is the relationship between a devotee and Baba. In fact, this reminds me of how Bhagwan used to talk about Radha. Swami used to say, you cannot separate Radha from Krishna because they are like moon and its light. They are like milk and the whiteness, like honey and the sweetness. You cannot separate them. And Swami says, it is not just with Radha. Here Swami is telling, with every devotee my relationship is like this. You devotees are like milk, and I am the whiteness of that milk. No one can separate them. That is the relationship between a devotee and Baba. I am reading it again and again because any number of times you read it, you feel you have not had enough. You want to merge into this message. You want that this message to just get imprinted in your heart and ring within your being continuously. Swami continues and says, get rid of foolish illusions and the fear psychosis. You have not done anything wrong. I am not the person to punish people for mistakes. I am here to correct them. What you think as punishment is not punishment. It is only a correction measure. It is only protection. I am not here for punishment. I am here only for protection. Remove all your illusions. Remove the fear. Don't think, oh, I have done this wrong. Bhagwan never liked any of us to say that I am a sinner, I am a papi. Swami never ever subscribe to this. Swami would always say, no, say that you are Amritasya Putraha. You are the embodiment of immortality. You are the son of immortality. Your true nature is being immortal. You are pure. Swami never liked anyone saying that I am a sinner. Your Swami is telling, don't say that you have done this wrong, that wrong. I'm not here to punish you. I'm here only to protect you. Sometimes you think that I'm punishing you, but I'm only correcting you because I want to protect you. And then Bhagwan goes on in that letter and says, remembering Sai's name will ward off worries. When such a name shining like a diamond stone is within you, will not the evil forces get destroyed? Can they ever come near you? Will Swami allow them that way? It is a dream illusion. never think that way. Wow. Swami is telling, remembering Sai's name will ward off worries. When such a name shining like a diamond stone is within you, will not the evil forces get destroyed? When we think about Bhagavan's name, Swami is telling, have that confidence that this name is like a shining diamond. It can destroy any evil force. Swami is telling, can they ever come near you? Can the evil force ever come near you? Will Swami allow that way? It is a dream illusion. Don't think like that. All these illusions are your illusions and your fear psychosis. I think the moment we get any fear, the moment we are confused, this is what we should think. The moment we think, oh, some evil thing is affecting me, that is when we should chant his name and tell ourselves that I am chanting Swami's name and the diamond of Swami's name is within me. It will cut any evil force that comes near me. Swami will never allow that to happen. How wrong it is when sometimes we say, Swami, why did you make this happen? Swami never allows anything that is not good for you to happen in your life. And Swami is so beautifully telling in this letter and through this letter to all of us. And Swami, like a family member, goes on and tells Sundaramma, see, yesterday Janakamma and her son came. They are here. Devotees are here in large numbers. Bhajan sessions are going on well. I am happy as ever, Swami is telling. Swami always should be so happy when he used to see devotees. That was his ananda, to be with the devotees. Swami says, I am happy as ever. Do not have any worry, fear or doubt. Always remember this little Sai who is ever happy and who is near you. That is enough, Swami says. Just remember this little Sai who is ever happy and who is near you. Never think that he is distant from you, he is far from you. Just remember this little Sai who is ever happy and who is near you. That is enough, Swami is telling. All happiness and comfort lies in that one thought. Without giving room for fear, stay cool and happy. Convey my blessings to the children, Swami says. To me, every sentence, every word in this letter makes you feel that when I have the philosopher's stone in my hand, when I have the diamond in my hand, why am I not realizing it? Why am I not utilizing it? Why am I giving any scope to any sorrow, any worry, any fear? That's what Swami is telling. All happiness and comfort lies in that one thought. What is that one thought? Remember, this little Sai who is ever happy is near you. That is enough. If you always remember, this Sai is with me, is with me, is with me all the time, holding my hand, taking care of every little detail. As I walk out of my house, he is with me, holding my hand. As I speak, he is there, deciding the thoughts in my mind. As I sing, he is there, putting the words into the tune. As I smile, it is his joy that is radiating, because he is in me, with me, all the time. If only we can remember this, Swami is telling, that is enough. All happiness and comfort lies in that one thought. Such a powerful letter, dear listeners, I just feel like reading this again and again. But these were the moments with Bhagwan. In the early years, there were a few people who were blessed to see the Swami of the 1940s and 50s and receive such letters from Bhagwan. And look at the compassion of Swami. He was personally sitting and writing letters. And in fact, Swami has written so many such letters. So many such letters to so many people. Each of them are there, worth their weight in gold and more. But if you take even one sentence of these beautiful words of Bhagwan, that will give us enough strength, courage to feel Him, love Him, and lead a life of happiness. That is what Swami wants. Without giving room for fear, stay cool and happy. Remember the little Sai who is ever happy. Dear listeners, it will be my joy to share more such letters and the stories from the yesteryears in this segment, Satyam Shivam Sundaram, in Outside Inside Deep Inside. I thought I will share with you stories from the 1950s to 1955. Even as I do that, every now and then I come across some very beautiful thing that happened in 48, 49, 47, and I cannot resist myself from sharing those beautiful stories also. Whatever Bhagwan wants to be conveyed, I pray that He leads me on to those facets of His life, so that together we will listen to His glory and fill our every moment with the sweetness of His story. Thank you so much. If you have any queries, anything you would like to suggest, anything that you would like to comment, please feel free. As always, we are in this together. We are here to learn. As always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. You can also send your feedback on our WhatsApp number, 9393258. 258. Once again, 9393-258-258. Offering this little endeavor at His lotus feet with joy and gratitude, I take your leave. Thank you so much. Sai Ram.